minutes went by a lot faster.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 2 p.m. on Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. We is under legal counsel update for Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. President is Commissioner Hare, Vice Chair Lily Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. Today we'll discuss item number one, which is matters from commissioners. We're convening for the legal counsel update at 2 p.m. All commissioners are present. And on board today at the table, we have Pat Ellison from legal. And this is, we're going to discuss the, legal update to the commissioners and the subject of a timeline to adoption of Josephine County Code. Pat?
Since we talked about this in mid-December, I did, actually just today, I called her to get the prices for these different versions of the code that we talked about. This apparently is the real old-school way, these embossed, custom, foil-stamped, and the only classic, only one company makes these anymore. And so she said, you have to order 10 minimum, and it will run $4,000 to $5,000. Yeah. That's these, on the other hand, are $15 each. At plus, it would be 10 cents per page, which I don't remember right now what we're paying if we were to send them through ourselves.
There's
for copying costs.
There's supposed to be some in the contract that we get it. We got copies. Didn't we get some in the contract? They have to have
we
a minimum
might have,
deliverable.
Yeah, we might have one.
How many copies are we going to need?
Well, I said minimum 10, but then I started thinking we probably need to... Well, that's a good question because it's going to be online. So would I think, in a way, more of our folks in the county, different departments, would feel just as comfortable, if not more comfortable, in being able to search online because it will have a search mechanism as well. Easier than looking in a table of
it's
contents.
It's just those people who want to reference something on a shelf occasionally.
Sure.
The crazy thing is that I anticipate within the first year having a code codified that we'll be strategically laying out what things we're going to change. So if we had a bound copy, it would be worthless in a year because so many things potentially will be updated and changed. And so I think the fewer three-ring binders we have to order from them, the better. We can always produce our own in-house.
Yeah.
Because it'll be online.
Yeah, it'll be ours.
So we can print it off.
We can print it anywhere.
Right.
Print it offline and go into a standard binder and do whatever we want in-house.
Yeah.
Is there a minimum on that? I mean,
no.
Do you have to order 10? Do you have to order?
No.
Okay.
But, and she also said that they would send it to us so that we could print it even on our own without going online and printing it. So
yeah, like a document as opposed to...
Yeah,
right.
Yes, a PDF maybe.
Well, I think we need to get by the cheapest way possible at this point.
Look into the contract and see if we had a printed version as part of it.
Did they
supply?
We'll
have a printed version, but it won't be in this old style.
Okay.
But you're right in that... Even though this, you can make changes in these type by taking the brads out, you know, and moving it around, it's likely that it'll change significantly in that first year.
The binders is probably the way to go, but we should do an evaluation of whether or not it's probably more cost-effective for us to do it in-house. So if she's going to send us an electronic version, that's what I would opt for, suggest.
Right. If we get a complimentary version with the contract,
then take it.
And then I think that'd be done.
And we have a printer that we use for finance to do the budget, and so it might behoove us to look at what that person charges and say, okay, well, here's another printing thing we need you to do, and they have nothing to do with finance. They're just printers and stuff.
Do we need to have, like, a timeline in 6 months to review it and print another one, or not?
Well, I think that'll happen
year?
Down the road. What I was hoping that we would discuss is the timeline of adopting the new draft when we get it.
Mm-hmm.
When is the time that we have an opportunity to review what's been changed?
Well, she's still sticking with the end of January as the estimate for finishing it. And so that means we should be seeing that final redone, ready for proofing, the final proof of it to look through. That, like I think I said before, we were kind of back and forth on what we were going to do with the RLDC. That had been the sticking point, but that I think we've gotten past that.
I should certainly hope so. At this point, we're looking for a final draft.
Yes.
There's been some challenges with drafts that are, which one are we going from? And we don't need to get into too many details. We picked one. We're moving forward with it. And that's the one we're going to have to work with. I think it's got some issues as far as what needs to be updated, much like our charter. So.
But then every year when legislation changes and whenever we adopt new ordinances.
You update it.
They will update it for
they
us.
They will update it for us. For how, what period of length of time? 10 years?
As long as we have them under contract. Okay. We have to pay them every year to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the cost of that. But when we signed the contract, it was the decision was made then that it would be really the best way to make sure that it's kept up to date.
It's been a challenge in certain programs. Our forest inventory, we've never had a codified code, but there hasn't been consistency. So I think the board at the time, and I don't remember which board that was, it would have been the original board back in the day, said, let's just give it a go for a little while of having them under contract and then if the future board or legal counsel really says, no, I think we can handle this. We've got it cleaned up to a point where it's almost fairly.
But we're not there yet.
No, I think it'll be a while, at least a year or two.
Yeah, and it would be a good idea to kind of go through a couple of years with code publishing to see how are they providing for these updates. And then have, you know, especially if there's more people in legal counsel that, there's no reason that legal counsel couldn't provide that, you know, every time a new ordinance.
Certainly not.
Just the same way we did with the charter to, you know, keep up. But, that's what the decision before was. We don't have staff, and it's just.
Because there's a number that I've reviewed that will need to be repealed. And so,
yeah.
Cleaning up the books from that standpoint. You start out with a code that looks like this, and eventually you're hopefully going to whittle it down to what is it that we do in excess of what the state does, because it's not the state OARs or ORSs in there. And in the future, when we do a new land use, so to speak, or other kind of an ordinance, it should have reference in a legal sense whatever the current state law is. Mm-hmm. Not reiterating it in our code, citing that, and so you
just
don't have
to
change it every time the state law changes, which we sometimes should do. It gets into a gray area if we have it specifically in our code of one version of the state law at a certain point, because planning goes by the law on the books at the day the permit's issued. Well, how do we conflict with state law when we aren't reflecting it anymore? So. We'll get all that. That'll take time.
And there, but isn't that their job to keep up on that?
They will do that for
they
us.
They will do that.
As long as we pay them to do it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's like a maintenance fee every year, and that fee would be in there whether or not we pass zero ordinances. So once we, and I think that we decided, like you said, to do at least a couple of years of that just to see how it goes, mm-hmm.
See what kind of
service
track
we're
record
providing.
They have as mm-hmm. a company.
And the other thing to remember is that when the code is adopted, there were a number of things as we went through it that we knew at some point should have had an ordinance to repeal an ordinance for whatever reason, and it didn't happen. But rather than adopt the new code with all of those things out of it, we decided that it would be better, just for transparency reasons, to adopt the code as it stands right now and then go back in later and repeal those ordinances that really should have been a repeal because something just changed, JBH, things that went away and never...
Which is Jefferson Behavioral Health, JBH.
Right. JBH.
Yeah. It went away as an entity, and mm-hmm. so we really should have gone in and...
So just taken it out.
...repealed the ordinance, or, you know, said that it's no more. But without the repeal ordinance, technically
if you just
still
take,
on the books.
If you just take it out without an actual repeal, then people are going, where to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So rather than, you know, do that for all of those, that's why you're going to see some things in there that you're going to say, what? Why is that still there?
Why is that still there?
Yeah.
How soon are we going to be able to get to repealing that stuff? Is that something you do every 3 months or something? You bring some of them, you lump them all into one? Is there a lot of them?
There's a lot of them. What I would suggest is we get, what I was hoping we could come out of this meeting was, is that timeline of by the end of January, it's going to get back here. We all agree that we've got 2 weeks to when we say it's done. And so by mid-February, they've got approval for a final draft. By end of February, we have the final draft. I'm making this up. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying it. But I want it put down on paper
right. So
that we don't have this...
Give us a
there
schedule.
Is something that says, nope, that was due on the 15th, and this is where we're at.
Schedule.
And we keep to it so that we have an expectation of by March.
March 15th, it'll all be done. We're signing.
No, we can start the process of adopting the ordinance adopts the new code. And that takes 2 readings separated by no less than 13 days, and then 90 days till it is real, alive. And then at that point, we can start repealing things.
So that'd be, we're into now July.
My point is all of this
but
takes
we need
a long
to have it
time.
Written down.
Every week that is off, I won't see this before I won't be here when it's all said and done probably, but when the code is pretty. And that was my goal, is that I would have pretty for the next board before I left office. So
this is the last thing in the packet, is a sample of what the ordinance adopting the code would look like. Pretty simple.
Do you have that timeline? I thought I'd seen one or something of an outline of what it takes, just those theoretical dates. We've had theoretical dates, the budget, other stuff that goes through your offices. Oh. There are always, this is another thing. When do we have to have this stuff in for a non-binding question on the May ballot? Can you get us that breakdown? We have more time that's required for the board. We have a 90-day out, whereas other entities have 60 days, so it's going to be soon, February-ish.
But we're in a...
I'll let you figure that out.
General election.
That kind of timeline is what I'm hoping for the codification process. And if we could have that on Thursday.
So I would say that it's very, I mean, it would all be a total estimate until
I don't
know
mind a total
that
estimate.
They have it, you know, to us.
I just want something on paper that gets me the end date at some point that says, oh, my expectation is everything goes 100% as planned, which it won't. We could have this done by June or something.
Okay.
That would be great.
So you want to get that back to us, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let's talk about that if we can on Thursday.
Okay.
Also, the non-binding question timeline, if that comes up in February, I'm pretty sure. Is when we have to have our, if we have one.
Okay. Commissioner Morgan, do you have any questions?
I would like a written copy when it's approved.
Of the
code.
Okay.
I'd like a
paper binder. Copy.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we're all going to want a working hard copy.
I think so too.
I
like paper copies.
At least. One or two for Julie's office, one or two for legal.
Yep.
You need a general one for the board and one for each of us.
One for each of us.
Well, if the board wants to make sure it's done at the least cost, then we'll check out what is their cost versus what.
Right. There's time involved. There'd be a lot of time involved for us to do it, but if we can buy, you know, of the binder style, mm-hmm. if they're not that expensive, let's get 8 or 10 of them.
Well, we're looking at $150 for 15 of them.
Yeah, I kind of like.
Or for 10 of them.
Everything I like, I don't know about all of you, but I like the custom tabs versus having
an index.
An index, and then you got to refer back to the number. I kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, I'll find out what finance uses for that printed budget too.
Great. So we're agreement on 10 copies of the ring style with the.
I'll find out how many Julie thinks they might want to.
Okay.
So they'd be the biggest users.
They're gonna want it online. Julie's probably the one who's gonna want to have a working document as we find it.
Can you think of any other departments that would be big users of it? That would, I think they probably just assume have it online if they're looking for something. Because there's a search.
Mm-hmm. So you'd be ready to go for it?
The paper document, in my opinion, is ones who are working on changes to it. And after that, I won't want one. I mean, if I were here for another 4 years, after a couple of years of getting it fixed up, I don't want one. Hard copy. I just want it online because it'll be clean. It'll be ready to go, and you can reference it easy. So.
Okay.
You all set?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Anything else from either commissioner?
Yes. I can have seat, please. We have a meeting coming up on Thursday. It's at 2:00, and it's. A group that has requested our input on requesting a change to our code, the ag zone, to preclude, restrict greenhouse complexes on farmland. Okay. This came to me, and I don't have the authority as liaison to say no or yes, but. So I figured it needed to come to the full board for discussion.
Restricting the number of greenhouses or
I'll let them present
footage or whatever, and that's on Thursday?
Yeah.
Who is doing the presenting? They have a name?
Yeah, Shoshana Feingold. Peter Gendron, I think, is supposed to attend. They're representing three kind of groups. It said rural Josephine County citizens. There's the
Isn't she involved marijuana. With the Citizens Action Committee out in Williams?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
This is the request that they put to their voters that didn't get the 65% that they're...
And so they're just going to bring it back as just a request from them?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know if this was the same thing that they went to the voters for, so I shouldn't... I didn't say that. I don't know exactly what they're asking
I don't know if they ever...
And I don't exactly know what they went to their voters for.
I don't even know... Yeah. I don't even know if they know.
What I've got is, and I can share this with you, this was their request, and so they just need to bring it to us. What I'm saying is to you is that I have not invited Julie Schmelzer to this. I don't think it's a good use of her time until the board says, yes, this is a good idea, we'll think about it, we'll explore it, and give that assignment to Ms. Schmelzer. I wanted you to be aware of that, because if you feel differently, I don't feel it's an effective use of her time.
Well, I don't think bringing her in on this right now. I think they should have their say, and then.
So she's reached out, Ms. Feingold, to Julie, inviting her and Wally's office. And I have, I'm not liaison to legal counsel anymore. That's up to him, and he's an elected official. But she works for the board,
right?
So I didn't.
Now, did Shoshana request Wally and Julie to be here?
Yes.
On Thursday?
Yes. And I told Julie has a conflict in her schedule, and I said, you don't have my request to be there. They don't, staff doesn't work for them, they work for us.
Right.
So,
right. So Wally doesn't need to be there either at this particular time? Unless we see something that we would like Wally in on and Julie in on.
I'll just tell you, I think I told her, I said this in the meeting, I am opposed to this in every shape. I get where they're coming from and I endorse where they're coming from, but restrictions on agriculture use is an uphill battle that I'm not interested in fighting on greenhouses, regardless of what they're used for. The second leading commodity in the state is nursery.
Nursery,
you go up
sure.
to the best farmland in the state of Oregon is located in the Willamette Valley.
Yep.
And there are greenhouses littering the best farmland in the state. We don't have the best farmland in the state. The good stuff is Lower River Road and Sowers Flat. That's the best soil that I'm aware of in Josephine County. And I took soil judging in high school and college level courses. So I just don't see us doing that. If Mr. Krause wants to put up a greenhouse on his property out there in Lower River Road to facilitate a nursery or marijuana industry, he can do that legally under state law, and there's nothing we can do about
right.
it. We would lose.
Well, and I had a conversation with a guy the other day that said, you know, I said something about the Lower River Road property, Upper River Road property. He said that's not good for growing cannabis, so.
Huh.
Which didn't make any sense to me, but then again, a greenhouse, you're mostly dealing in beds and pots and things of that sort. You're not there direct into the soil. You're just creating an environment.
That's all I wanted to bring was that, you're aware of why
right.
or how.
So, they're in on Thursday?
Yep, you're okay with Julie not being invited at this point?
I have Commissioner Morgan?
Yeah, I don't believe legal counsel's in town. Or not in the office this week, rather. I don't know if he's in town or not. But if this is something that we need legal counsel to look at as far as ramifications and stuff like that, do we want to give them a heads up?
I don't need legal counsel.
Okay.
I've read the Oregon Right to Farm and Forest Act. It is very clear.
Is the Oregon Right to Farm and Forest Act, is it a long document?
No. No, it's definitely something you all should be aware of.
I was going to say, can we have a copy of that? Should we have a copy of that ready to hand to her?
Yeah.
At the meeting, I think that would be, so she said, well, you know, we need this. I know this is what we are working off of right here.
Yeah.
You need to know what we see. I'm sure that Peter Gendron's got, you know, if he's
yeah.
pretty sharp, he's probably figured out a way around it or something. But. Okay. And then we will make a decision after listening to them if we think it's worthy of going to
staff,
legal and to staff. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying, Commissioner Morgan?
I think that's what I heard, yeah.
I don't need it. I don't need a meeting. I've read what they're requesting.
Yeah.
But I'm only one commissioner. That's why we're having a meeting with you two.
Yeah.
Because you.
Well, I think it's important that all three of us hear what they have to say on Thursday.
Well, I'll be here.
Yeah.
And I'll be receptive
to
hearing them, but I think they know my position. The other thing I had to talk about was that there's an agenda out, and I've already corresponded with Julie about how it's set. Somehow I printed it out, but it's not here. For next community economic development, I'm the liaison for this, and it takes place on the second Monday of every month at about 4:00, and I am not back from Salem in time at 4:00. I have made a couple. I've been probably to 3 of 6 for some reason. I made it back, or I didn't go that Monday or something.
I've been to 2.
Right.
But I won't be back by 4 either.
Do they conflict every time? Does their meetings conflict every time with AOC?
Consistent. A challenge. So there's two things. On the agenda, I feel a real disconnect. Like Aaron has a spot about city goals being reflected with the economic development. He's got 10 minutes, is item number 2 on the agenda set out for next Monday. I wasn't given that opportunity to present where the board's perspective is. I came to you guys last month in December and asked, do you endorse the idea that the Community and Economic Development Committee be focused on changing the median income? That's it. One sentence. You need to put your blinders on, your parameters, and say, what are we doing to increase the median income in Josephine County? If it's outside of that, beautification, blah, 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 no, no, no. We have one of the lowest median incomes in the state. There is nothing else in, for me.
How often do they, how often, do, is that done with a census?
I think it's once a month or what?
The median income, when they set that, when do they set that level? At census time?
No, no. It must,
is it done every 6 months or annual?
Annual.
Who does that?
State of Oregon, I'm sure. I'm sure they have somebody who accounts for
so
it. I'm worried less about how often and just the fact that we have so far to go. We're seventh in the state for livability on the state's health outputs. And that changes every year, whether we're sixth or seventh or whatever. We need to be, our goal should be in the top 10. We may not, never get there. We may get there in 20 years or whatever, but what are we doing every day to improve that?
Right.
Previous boards have allocated money to rogue roasters. Nothing against rogue roasters at all, but there is one position, I imagine, in that, that office that makes above the median income level pouring coffee. That's not what I'm interested in. They gave him $50,000. I would much rather incentivize somebody who's paying above the median income level jobs through grants like that.
Do you think that when we, after the first year, which is after the first year, when we have better tracking on the cannabis industry, that we'll start getting some of those?
I would imagine.
Is there any element in their tracking system that says how much money do you pay? You know, do you fill out, do you, you know, have withholding or anything of that sort?
And stuff.
I mean, I don't know what OLCC, do they demand withholding records like you would in
a business? Well, with a significant portion of the market being off the grid currently for the last couple of years.
That won't show up anywhere.
Nobody's getting paid with W-2s of a commodity being sold. I don't want to dispute the numbers. That's me personally.
Right.
I grew up in the Illinois Valley. I know people who were collecting food stamps driving Cadillac Escalades.
Yeah.
So that exists, and it is probably not going to be captured.
Yeah, that's not our...
I'm not so worried about that. I'm worried that we're not keeping up with the Joneses and the real... Whether we were number one in the state for median income level, being over, you know, that... That should be the charge, I think, of this group. Is that what I was hoping is you've been critical of the idea that this is an enigma that you can't put your finger on. And between all of us, we need to come up with parameters of focusing them in.
What is our outcome measure? Our outcome measure for the success of this group is whether the median income of Josephine County increases.
Or how many jobs were created over the median income as a result of their actions.
Not just service industry jobs that are below minimum wage.
That's what I'm looking for.
I would support that notion.
Okay.
I think you've already done that.
I believe we have, but...
We didn't get an opportunity on this agenda, and I feel like I'm treated in a second-class way, and I don't know if that's us not showing up at 110%. Due to the time or whatever, but I don't like the agenda being created and I'm off that. So I don't know if you're able to attend or if I'm back. I have a little bit of a conflict with AOC's meeting on Monday. There's that leadership rural county, rural urban caucus meeting on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the morning, Monday in the morning, because it's our orientation weekend. That's all paid for by that group. It's not costing us anything for me to attend that, but I don't think I will be busy Monday morning, and I don't know that I'll show up to AOC for the last hour or two.
The afternoon.
Not really knowing what's going on. But are you attending AOC on Monday?
No, I'm not.
You sure that's a good idea? I mean, I would think you'd want to walk the halls. The members could be there, should be there. Have you thought of what's your schedule for February and jumping up there?
That is legislative week.
That
would be an appropriate time to be up, just walking through the Capitol.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be that day, but we're not here, so no business is going to take.
That's true.
If you guys were up there, I would make sure that I was back by.
What do they call it? Legislative days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if we go, you could be back here. Because I think this is important.
I think so, too.
For you to make that presentation.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, I wanted to bring that to your attention. Do you guys have an interest in the minutes from the last meeting and others? Because I think you've attended a couple. But I think this is something we need to either make sure that we're getting bang for our buck.
Now that, it's not costing when us we, money, when we reanalyze and raise the median income, that makes us look, that makes us look better and more welcoming to people that want to move here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it provides an economy for
It's a litmus test for the economy, local economy.
Yes. People okay. with discretionary income can afford to go to coffee shops and stuff that employ people. It's not as though I don't care about people below the median income level, but if you're given no options but to go to jobs that are always below the median income level in this area, but you'd like to do something better, that's terrible, you know? It's not that they don't exist here, it's just that they're low.
Yeah.
So if we focus on something that pays high dollar, it gives people here options of something to aspire to if they're below, and provides for more coffee shops and stuff. So I feel like they're just kind of floating and they don't have real direction. And that could be because there's really maybe inconsistent leadership by people. And I'm not even given time on the agenda every time to, they don't ask questions. I'm not sure how effective it is. I know.
But if we're not there, we can't change it.
Yep, we're not at the table.
You know, let's go on like it always has been. So
yep.
This is an opportunity for the county to blow its back a little bit and charge at it.
Yep.
Okay.
Did you want to see this?
Yeah, I'll be up to speed on that. Okay, all right. So we're talking about that. You think I need to go to AOC? That's next week?
I think so long as this bill is before the agenda,
you
need to be in Salem as often as you can.
Yes.
Champion. I do think AOC staff would even walk you through, and Rob Ovette potentially. You would maybe even call Rob ahead of time and say, Rob, if I come up there, will you walk me through, introduce me to some folks?
Yeah.
And you have a chance for the two of you guys to walk through together. Right. It would mean he'd miss some of the other AOC meetings on Monday, but it might be worth saying that. Or find a time that week to go up and do it since they are going to be there.
He's going to be busy. He works for all counties, so I wonder.
But it would give me an opportunity to talk to him firsthand and say, okay, we need, this is what I would like to do. When do you want me here?
Well, since it's legislative days that week, is there a day that he would want you to come up and he can walk you through and the two of you guys go?
I'll let him pick it.
Yeah. You should probably have pick your team. Get the other counties to have a liaison to this issue that's not just you walking around.
Right.
Because every connection that you can have, Boyce knows people, Freeman knows everybody.
Talk to Kevin Cameron from Marion County.
He's
he was
not
very
in the six,
what's his name?
But he's supportive.
True, but he supported Kevin Cameron from Marion County.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is supportive of the bill potentially for the opportunity for expansion beyond.
Right.
So having somebody from up north.
Right.
That would maybe.
He's a former state legislator. That's the really great connection.
Well, here's the issue, and we'll just kind of talk about this. But as Rob put down on his list of people that needed to be on board, one of them was all the local legislators and key legislators locally, and the guild. And I've got Peter coming in. If he just box stops and that's it, no, I don't want to do this. I think we need to charge ahead, with or without our local people or not. What's your thoughts?
100% yes.
Okay.
I agree.
We'll just
there's
mark
no
it
doubt.
Out.
Yep. Even if there's not full legislative support.
Even if there's not full
this
legislative support.
This is the right thing to do.
There's political real estate that comes into this thing, and this is not, you know, I know it's political, but however, this is very important to Southern Oregon. Very, very important.
It's important to this state.
It is.
Where is the letter that we're signing to endorse this? You should have that in hand by next Monday, that you can circulate it, that every county in this region has signed it. Part of that letter should have a whereas that says, for in 2017, 111 measures were put before Oregon voters on taxing marijuana. Every single one of those passed. Find me another issue in the state, in the history of the state, where every city, every county who had a taxing measure on an issue, or any issue, passed. This really isn't that political. When you get into a point where everybody agrees with it, I don't see how that's really that political anymore.
Well, I'm going to talk to Mr. Bovet
probably this afternoon after Peter Gendron, and then I've got a airport board meeting this evening, but I'll talk to Rob either this afternoon or tomorrow morning, let him know what Peter said. I want to talk to him about the conversation that I had with Carl Wilson, where we have talked on the phone, and I told him that we're going to talk to Sean Hall of the Courier, and he was going to basically do an article on it. He said he's fine with that. He said, genie's out of the bottle, let's start running with it. So.
Yeah, I thought his quotes in the article, and I haven't spoken with Representative Wilson.
No. Well, he just got done with surgery, so.
Completely out of touch with his constituents.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if our question in May focused around this issue. We've already asked taxing measures on marijuana, but you don't have to. You can ask that question locally, but it'd be non-binding. You know, you have to wait till November or whatever.
Well, November is when it would be on the ballot. But if it passed in November, then in January, with January's figures of 19, it would be law by then, and they'd have the LCC and OHA would collect the fee for that, and we'd get it back in January, February, or whenever they divvy the money out. So we're a year out.
Still making a plan, which is what we were asked to do.
We're a year out, but I think people are going to deal with a year out as long as there's something happening. There's been an awful lot of talk and not much action. I think one of the keys is the fact that Billy Williams, you know, after they explained what all the state legislature had done, and boy, isn't it great, seed to sale and everything else, they go, that means nothing in Southern Oregon to Billy Williams, because he says it is not unknown that Southern Oregon does not have any money, any resources for enforcement. What good is all the laws in the world that they make in Salem if there's no money and Josephine County has gone and asked for money down here,
and
we get kicked out every time. I think you guys made a fantastic case last year, and it never got anywhere because, you know, your schools had an issue and so on and so forth. But I think we should march ahead on it. With the board approval, I think if we're in agreement on that.
Absolutely.
We're just talking.
Looking forward to something to sign on it.
Okay. Anything else for today?
You guys don't have anything about the $170,000 that we got for the fourth quarter? Have you read your email?
No, I didn't see the email. I've been in a meeting since I saw you guys last.
We got our update.
I walked in the door and sat down.
Yeah, we got our update on the
is that from the sequestration?
This is the fourth quarter payment for August through Arthur sent out. It was $170,000. So that's in addition to the $206,000 that we received before.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We appropriated that to a code enforcement officer. I shouldn't call him an officer. They're not really an officer, but code enforcement,
an officer,
and a legal assistant. So
legal assistant. Okay.
I think that total was approaching 300,000, probably closer to 260. So there will be, you know, but I think we should think out what we're going to do with those on a revolving basis now that we are probably approaching a reasonable level of revenue from that.
So are you saying that what we're getting now is probably what we can expect?
I
don't think it's solid right now. It's just our first year.
Yeah, no, I think it's.
And with the change in January, that's, I don't know how many people have signed up. I don't know how many are still out there running black market.
So the 170 is not that's still the old formula.
Right.
And the new formula is half on the canopy and dispensaries or population?
Canopy and I think.
It's supposed to be on the it's the new formula.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be from July 1st, 2017 is when it changed to include canopy.
Canopy.
And
canopy
dispensary.
And plant.
Dispensary
and canopies.
Dispensary and canopy.
So that was the new formula as of July 1st, 2017. So any payments from July 1st after.
So we're on that new formula.
So if that's what we can expect.
So I think that's closer to what we can expect. It's certainly
okay.
On a quarterly basis.
I've asked the sheriff today in my conversation with him for the first of the week I was called. And I told him that I would be very interested to see what he would figure that a full, if he had his wish list for a full sheriff's department where if somebody picks up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's a person answering the phone? What would that look like and how much would it cost? At some point in time in the next month, we're gonna have to put a number in those two slots in the initiative to say that it's $1 a square foot on canopy and $50 on plant or 72 cents a square foot and $46 or whatever it is. We're gonna have to come into agreement on the five counties on that. So we're gonna, I'm gonna have a lot of...
Well, a consideration for pick up the phone and dial is not just number of personnel, but it's a place to house them. Mm-hmm. So that needs to be a consideration that we don't have a facility that can really handle them.
Right. But I want sheriff's estimation.
I'm still wondering all the money we're spending to redo.
Sheriff's, I want sheriff's estimate as to what it would take.
But if they grow.
Yeah.
What it would take to be fully up and operational like we were getting ONC money before. You can't use the amount that ONC money was way back 20 years ago because, or 30 years ago, because the dollars are different now.
Yeah, everything's more expensive.
All the rules, the whole formula's changed. So he's going to put that together, kind of give us some kind of a target date, because we really are going to have, if this thing goes in February, we're going to have a number before we hand it to anybody.
Yeah.
That all five counties agree on. So. Does that make sense?
Sounds good.
Do we know, who creates this in the legal portion?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will follow up with her. We've asked numerous times to make sure there's always a matters from commissioner or others under legal. It should be on every agenda, no matter what.
Yeah, and today, just this is a transition period of the chair. They were going to cancel it. I don't want a legal meeting canceled without some input. It really should be the chair's to say, yeah, we don't have anything, or we have another meeting schedule that can accommodate these things. I told Wendy, I would like, as the liaison to the codification project since day one, I want that on every agenda until it's done.
Until it's done.
We asked for that outline. I've asked for it 3 times so far, and it hasn't happened. We've asked for it 3 times.
Well, that's I think what we're talking about here, and I think it should be more of a way of doing business, is to target something and finish it. Get it done with. You know, and if all three of us collectively say, no, that needs to be done, I think we'll get those things done.
I think
just
so.
So, you know, just using 3344, Camp Joy as an instance, okay, well, I cite them and I give them a citation and they throw that away and so on, and letters and all that other stuff. That's not getting it done. So what do we need to do to really step up the game and get it finished? And now we want to finish date. When is it all going to be done? And that one worked out real well for us.
Speaking about that, we should have an update, I think, regularly on code enforcement.
I've seen Denise once since we've been here in a year. And I think, you know, if she needs help, and
well,
it obviously sounds like it, this is where she's going
to
come to get the help, you know.
So on that note, Solid Waste Agency is something I think we need to talk about membership for. We have notice been given by Brad in Environmental Health that he's retiring, and he holds one of the positions. Connie Roach holds one of the positions, and Rob Brandis holds one of the positions. I believe that we are not effectively utilizing the funds that are in our solid waste for our stuff, and I think it needs to be more closely tied to our planning department. I think we should have a representation there, a representation out of the environmental health. But I would like us to look at that membership of solid waste. I've asked Mike Weber to coordinate with our new attorney and planning to get a mapping finally completed about solid waste and just complaint driven. They have some stuff. They said, well, we need help from code enforcement. I said, code enforcement's not your answer, our attorney is. Code enforcement has no authority, our attorney does, through that process of getting it to us. So basically getting those, we'd asked this earlier in the year, if a complaint comes in the county, where does it go, how's it processed? So getting them all on one page and coming up with a recommendation for a system.
I'd only say that I think code enforcement is the first place to start, that they only hear it when it comes through the board from code enforcement to say, yes, process it through legal.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a mapping, which I would like to see, of every complaint that's being filed, geographically delineated, legal's not gonna, only gonna give you, maybe we highlight those, okay, so the whole map is covered with like.
Not geographic, to me was mapping of process.
Oh, you referenced GIS, so I was on the mapping of.
Did I say GIS?
You said GIS.
I don't remember saying GIS.
100% sure. That's what got me on the idea that it's a great idea.
If I misspoke.
You asked GIS, you were coordinating.
Mike Weber. I asked to speak with code enforcement, environmental health, and our new attorney to get the process.
Anyway, I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Whether you had it or not, that we map out geographically where all of these are, have them color-coded to say these green ones are ones that we've got a complaint on. The red ones are in legal for process.
Environmental health says there's one complaint open.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
So there's an issue of getting the process.
Right.
It came out of that first meeting at the beginning of the year that they all came and said, what are we doing with all this? Oh, well, you got to call these 20 agencies. Okay, so now I've talked to Augustus. I've talked to Mike. They're going to meet with planning and code enforcement and come up with how are things handled when they come to our county and make a recommendation to us so we can get things moving. That's all I meant by that.
I think we need to take a page out of Siskiyou County's. Just talking to people from down there, and what they do is they have a targeted group. Solid waste, for instance, what is their role in all of this and what is DEQ's role in it? And you just put their feet to the fire. When they go out down there, they have the sheriff's department, they have state patrol or highway patrol goes with them, environmental health goes with them, so does solid waste, so that they can say, you know what, we know what we're up against right now, we're going to clean this project up, it's done. And within a very short period of time, there's no dilly-dallying around, they just go out there and take care of it. They bust it, they get it over with, they haul it away, and it's finished. And I think maybe we need to have a real concentrated magnifying glass to build the fire thing, including solid waste. Solid waste just kind of comes along when we ask them to, right?
If we do, yeah.
If we do.
I just wanted to kind of put it on your, well, for now, from the code enforcement and environmental health side, I've asked them to figure out what the process is in our county,
yeah.
And what's that going to look like, especially with personnel changes? And
if we had to add, if we have to add other agencies to it, I think that's valuable. That makes sense?
Yep. That's why I think we have those three people, the trifecta, hired to go after it. So I think we should have a product, something. I don't know where the code enforcement hiring has come from. I think they hired someone.
Did they? I didn't know what the status was.
I don't either. I thought they'd hired somebody. But everybody else, two out of the three, I think there's an officer hired. So those are something I think we should put together.
Okay, I'm going to have a conversation with Rob Brandis this afternoon, hopefully, when I get out of here. And then we're going to send him an email. We want monthly. Well, first off, the first time I want him to come in here, I want him to bring his fleet manager with him and introduce him to the board. And we'll get started on that. Informing him exactly what we expect of him and how often we expect it.
Great. We also need to start a budgeting process, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
we need to get that underway, and that should probably be part of the letter that goes out to staff, kind of in a series of them. You should coordinate with Arthur on
that. Yeah, I was going to call Arthur on
that. Down, and I've asked Wendy to set up liaison updates for you from all of the chair liaisons that set out a plan for the year. Makes sense.
Got it.
Budget's going to happen. People are already, counties are already working on it. We need to decide whether or not we're doing a 1 or 2 year budget.
It's not.
I don't agree with Arthur in the sense that the budget from the legislature's been set. They just got out of their session. Their budget just started. I don't care what he says. They're not mid-budget. They're at the beginning because the legislature just approved it. And that's a biannual. That's why we're in a short session in 17. So. It's been fairly set, and corrections and public works are the largest two recipients other than public health for state funds. So those ones are done. I think the timing is very, very ripe for us to consider. And I would imagine my recommendation would be that the mid-year, the next year, if we did a 2-year budget here, the following year is a opportunity to address mid-budget adjustments. You'll have to do mid-year budget reviews because your audit is done every year, and for audit reasons you have to have those codified. You normally have to being the budget committee for items that are above or below 10%. And
either way.
Either way. That changed 2 years ago. It used to just be above, but now it's below. And then, but taking that mid-year, you know, that mid-budget cycle thing as an opportunity to kind of maybe even think strategic planning style stuff.
Well, it also lets you know where everybody is as far as how much they spend over the, we're halfway through.
Yeah.
And we're doing well or we're not going to do well.
I think all of my programs that I'm liaison to can, they can do a two-year budget. So it doesn't mean that they're 100% strapped into it. They can change things, but this idea that...
I actually was thinking about that this weekend, about a two-year budget. Approve it for 2 year, you do a ratification of any
changes
big changes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we'll talk to Arthur about that.
One of the other things that I thought would be really positive, maybe we can break this up into thirds so it's not just... I've started taking a look at, I would like to be familiar with every county's budget in the state. That could be ambitious, but just to take a look at what's presented online so that from a transparency standpoint, we're keeping up with the Joneses. This would be a task that I would assign to more of an administrative role, but that is our role until we reassign that. And so that when people provide criticisms of that, we can say, yes, we looked at that, and this is why we chose to do what we are, or that's a great idea. But right. We should be coming up with proposed changes.
Well,
I have an example of that. I part of my paper I completed this weekend was on contracts, and the various types of contracts we did at the county this year. And one of the contracts I reviewed was the personal services with Peter Allen, our surveyor. I could not find in the budget how much FTE he was for his position. Now, the next section was veterans, and it showed hit the office breakdown by FTEs, but the surveyor section was not. And there was nothing talking about the partnership of the surveyor's office working 20 hours a month under county wages, and then through personal contract doing surveying under these. It's not listed in our budget. No.
Not on the Schedule D? I mean...
Well, whatever's online under the general fund. And I just scrolled down until I found surveyor. Treasurer had something else, but surveyor section. I went on to veterans. It was delineated FDA, but surveyor was not. And
they're in the general fund. They draw $33,000.
Well, his section just didn't have it. What I'm getting to is... It's not consistent between departments of what they provide in our budget online. The
how
veterans
many people,
had FTEs.
How many people are in his department?
Well,
just one?
So
he and another employee, but the veterans
no,
had...
No, there's three. There's Peter, there's whatever her name is, and the corner preservation surveyor guy. There's at least those three, and there's sometimes probably additional ones.
And they're told...
He's going out with another guy, the corner preservation
got
guy.
It.
What you're looking for is what if it isn't supposed to be there? That's fine. There should be a delineation that say... Surveyor office C blah 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 fund or
yeah.
What I like what you're bringing up is the element of cross reference. If you're looking for something that you think should be there, have it there and tell you where it really is.
It was on the next page under veterans. It had how many FTEs were in the department
for veterans,
for veterans,
not for survey, but surveyor should have been listed and say please see this office because it's an elected official's office or
it was just one of those things that it's like why can I find on this department but this department doesn't have the same information on the page before. I mean when you're scrolling through the section so having a budget that you can find the same information on every department
But who do we go to? Is that Arthur's? Is that finance?
It's Arthur, but then Chris is the one who prepares the budget. And I've talked to Chris about that and she does look at other we get an award for our budget and how well it's put together and there's a very explainable reason I'm sure Chris has for why the surveyor is different. We just need to...
It's a unique relationship. That's why I was highlighting that contract in my paper. Yeah. However, what information transparently do we offer the public about that unique relationship?
Yeah, because Klamath's surveyor is full-time, salaried the whole nine yards, has an office. And when I don't know if it's this board or the last board, looking at cutting the surveyor, I'm like, well, let's put this in perspective, people, about what we're actually paying our surveyor relative to our comparable counties.
And even the contract we receive was...
And there isn't enough work for a full-time surveyor here, is there?
I think we've got issues that could use a surveyor's office. One of the things that I've asked Connie and Rob offline, and this is outside my, other than from an assessor's and property manager deals, that we get the, when we have public works projects, whether they're in the city or the county, when they affect our property, we need to do the lot line adjustments so that it isn't some hodgepodge with a road running through and lines going everywhere. That's how we have the Demick Capus with 20 different tax lots. And really, there's only three tax lots there.
Yeah.
So I think I've used up enough of your guys' time, but those are the things that I had.
Okay, anything else, Commissioner Morgan?
No, I'm going to wait for later this week.
Okay. With that, it is 2:55 and we're adjourned. Thank you.